Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our Thursday night Mishmar Shir. Tonight's topic is a very important topic because it's Nogeh Halach L'maisa, often, but not often as you think, and I'll tell you why. The only time that you have to know the answer to this question is if you don't have a minion, unless you include somebody. Meaning, if you have 15 people and you want to know if a non-religious person could daven with you, of course, there's no shaila at all. What we're going to talk about tonight, Be'ez Hashem, and by the time you finish here, you'll know whether if you don't have a minion, unless you include somebody who is irreligious, and of course there are many different flavors and nuances of what it means for someone to be irreligious, the question will be, in that situation where you need to include somebody irreligious to get your count of a minion, will that person count for the 10 people needed for a minion as far as Baruch Hu is concerned, Kaddish, Kedusha? We'll see, is that considered Tefillah B'Tzibur? We'll see Kriyas HaTorah. There might be three different categories. Getting Aliyah, we're not going to have time to get to, but you'll see some hints tonight as to what the parameters of getting Aliyah. You'll see some hints tonight. Well, the first point would be is if they can't participate for a minion, they definitely can't get an Aliyah. If they could participate in a minion, then we could discuss whether or not they would be able to receive an Aliyah. Good evening, Yaakov. Good to see you. So the starting point that we're going to start with, which is what some of the poskim start with, as you'll see soon, is a very important yediyah. Good evening, doctor. Hope the ER is quiet tonight. Pasuk in Yeshua. Good evening, Ellie. The Pasuk in Yeshua tells us that as Klal Yisrael began to attack Eretz Yisrael, they came on Ai, the city of Ai, and of course Ai was supposed to be, was destroyed and was supposed to be left Chayrim, and Achan took from that Chayrim. And that was, and he was punished, therefore. Klal Yisrael were punished because he took from the Chayrim. Yericha, I'm sorry, thank you, not Ai, Yericha, thank you. So Pasuk in Yoshua says, Chata Yisrael, V'gam avru es prisi, asher tzivisi osam, if you have the sheet, it's the first source. V'gam lachum en hacherem, gam gonvu, gam kichashu, gam som bechleim, they took the Chayrin that was not supposed to be pilfered, and they did take from it, and therefore Chata Yisrael. Those two words are very essential. Why? Because they just did a chait, or at least somebody in Yisrael did a chait. And yet, what are we still calling them? Yisrael. So the Gemara picks up on this peculiarity, not a peculiarity, but this interesting diuk. Chata Yisrael. Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael. What a wonderful, wonderful way to start the shir as a chizik for all of us to recognize that even if, let's not point fingers at other people being chotim, let's point fingers at ourselves, that even if we fall, even if we might be chote in A or B or C, we have to realize Yisrael, Hashem still is our Father, loves us, etc. Oh, I didn't share the screen. Sorry, doctor. So you have in front of you the pasuk that says Chata Yisrael, and Chazal in the second source, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Afa Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu. Okay, now let's start going into the some of the Rishonim, who are the first to deal with our specific Shah. There's no explicit Gemara anywhere in Shas that talks about Tzira for a minion regarding any brand of somebody who's irreligious. And we have a lot of brands of somebody who's irreligious. We have what we call a mumar, we have a tzeduki, we have a mumar lahachis, we have a mumar l'te'avon, we have mechal shas b'farhesia, we have mechal shas she'eno b'farhesia. So I just listed about five different types. Did I mention karoim? Five or six different types of people that might have different statuses. So we're going to, now the Gemara definitely does talk about minim and tzedukim and karoim, but never does it specify whether they are mitzayif or not mitzayif to a minion. So let's go in through the Rishonim and see how the Rishonim dealt with this. And it's always important to realize that the concept of an irreligious Jew is not new. The question is the parameter. The question is the percentages. And we'll see some fascinating things in the early Achronim when it comes to certain areas of Europe as far as percentages is concerned. But we'll see that in a little while. Comes the Beis Yosef in Simen Nun Hei. Simen Nun Hei, if I'm not mistaken, is either, I think it's the halachas of Kaddish. So, of course, he has to tell you who counts as a minion. So, the Simen, the Beis Yosef quotes the Sefer Amanhei. Good evening, Heshi. Good to see you. Welcome.
Good evening. Boryan.
So the Sefer HaManig, he quotes here, Adam Shehu Avaryon. But look how he says it. This is going to be the source for the Shulchan Aruch, which we'll see in just 2 minutes. Kosma Sefer HaManig, Adam Shehu Avaryon. An Avaryon, somebody does Averas. Veloni Duhu HaKol Me'atzlam. And was not put into Nidui, was not put into Cherem by the community, Nimne L'minyan Asara, is counted in a minion. Just because a person's an Avarian that does not put them out, unless they were put into Nidui. If they were put into Nidui, if they were put into Cherem, then indeed they're not going to be able to be counted as a minion. If they did the Averas, but the community has not yet put that person in Cherem, then the person, despite having had the Averas on it, under his belt, still does become part of a minion. Why? V'chay b'chol ha-mitzvahs, of course, avogated b'chol ha-mitzvahs, d'chsiv ba'achan, the pasuk that we just learned together in Yehoshua, that even though Achan was chote, chote Yisrael, afu pisha chote Yisrael, who citing the Gemara that we just learned. What do we see from that? Says the Sefer HaManig, d'b'kudushasi kai, v'lo yatz v'chla Yisrael. What do you need to be part of a minion? You need kudushas Yisrael. Some reason a Baal Aveira, guess what? He still has Kedushas Yisrael. Aval. And this next point will make it into the Shulchan Aruch. Aval concludes the Sefer HaManig. Imni du me'etzlam. If a person, because of his Averas, was put in Cherem, was put in Nidui, eino mitztarif la'asara, velo l'chol davar shebekdusha. He's not going to be mitztarif to a minion. And there's a very interesting reason that's offered, or logic that's offered. She'im mitztarif, because if this person who was put in nida in Cherem is mitztarif, maho il b'takanasam shivdiluhu me'agudasam. What did the Chachamim accomplish with their putting him in a Cherem if he's still considered part of us? The whole point of Cherem is to excommunicate. The whole point of a minion is to incommunicate. I just made up that word, but to bring somebody into the community. Is excommunicate from the word communication or from the word community? To make somebody outside of the community.
Was the Kutum excommunicated, or the Tzedokim, or they were just not considered Jews?
I don't know the answer to your question, but we'll see what will unfold. We'll see what will unfold. But again, the Gemara never mentions our Shaila of Tzir Flaminian. Does the Gemara assume that they were ever specifically put into Nidir Cherem? I don't know. Not that I know of. Right, okay, fine, we'll get there. We're going to talk about that.
Just as a quick aside, Nachyomi today is covering 10 people for me.
Oh, very good. So it's going to be, this week's Nachyomi. But we're going to get there. We're going to talk about that that reference you're referring to. So that was the Beis Yosef according to the Sefer HaManig, who will make himself into the Shulchan Aruch, but just two more sources in the Rishonah that the Beis Yosef cites for us. V'zeh Lashon HaRashba B'tshuva. The Tshuva's HaRashba says a similar idea. Misha nidu al avera, if somebody did an avera and therefore was put into nidu, eino mitztarif la'asara, and also, velo mizamnin ala b'shlosh, you can't even make a zimun.
Automatic
that what?
Like a certain avera triggers
nidu. No. Oh, meaning there's some averas that if you do them, you're automatically in nidu without the basin passing you as a menuda. I don't know if that will have this din of not sure.
Not sure.
Velo, but look after the three dots in this Rashba. Velo machmas ha-cherem. But it's not, we just learned in the Sefer HaManig that it's the cherem that puts you out of the minion. Says the Rashba, no, it's not the cherem that puts you out of the minion, which is the way I explained just a moment ago. Velo machmas ha-cherem. Because sometimes somebody, you know why somebody could be in cherem? Let's say a guy, with your permission, I excuse my language. Let's say a guy is a jerk and doesn't give his wife a get. So okay, so we put a seiv at him. We put him in cherem. Cherem is rabbeinu tam, certain types of cherem. So are you going to say that he's not mitzayif to a minion? Ostensibly, we would call him religious. I'm scared to use that word because maybe he's not religious because he's not listening to the Beis Din. So that's not called religious. Just because he keeps Shabbos and Kashas, but he doesn't listen to the Beis Din, he's not religious. So says the Rashba, somebody doesn't pay up a loan that they're supposed to pay. So he was put in a cherem. You're going to tell me he's not mitzayif to a minion? Says the Rashba, that can't be. It must be that if you do a bad avera that's bad enough that you put in a cherem for the bad avera, again, not something like machmas mamon, but an avera like what we would call a religious a ritual act for which you did an aveira, it's the aveira that puts you into the chayrim, not the chayrim that puts. It's the aveira that makes you separated and not worthy to be in a minyan, not the chayrim per se. So it sounds to me like we have machlokas here. The first opinion, the Sefer Manig was mashma that it's nothing to do with the aveira; it's the fact that you put into chayrim. The Rashba seems to be saying that it's not the chayrim, it's the aveira that makes you separated. What? I don't know. Right, you're saying he was the God among the Gedali Hadar. He just happened to paskin not like the rest of the Chachamim, and therefore they put him in Chayim not to, to weaken the psak of Klal Yisrael. Right, you're saying he wouldn't be Messiah to him. Okay.
Is there supposed to be a nafkamina
I'm not going to have a nafkamina. But yeah, the nafkamina was, what happens if he wasn't put in Chayim? What happens if he did an aver that on the book says this aver goes to chayim, but the bezin never got around to it, or it's a weekend? Bezins are closed on weekends and holidays.
No, I'm talking about whether he did an aver. A, he did an aver. B, he was put in the chayim. Now the question is:
so if he did a bad aver, I was put in the chayim for that reason. So every both will agree. What happens if he did a bad aver, but it was not put in the chayim? According to the Sefer HaManhig, it's the chayim that puts you out, that makes you not mitzvah to a minyan. And if there's no chayrim yet, because Bezdin is not meeting because it's yontif, then you're not. Then you will be mitzayv to minyan. According to the Rashba, it's that very shabod. You did such a bad avera that it's worthy of getting a chayrim. So you did that very. You're ready in chayrim, even though Bezdin isn't meeting yet. That's what I would think would be a nafkamina. Oh. Let's now jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. If you want, you can look with your eyes at the other 2 points in the Beis Yosef, but it's not so important for me right now. How do we paskin Rabbosai? Zok the Shulchan Aruch and Simon and Hei, again, I think there's a Simon of the halachas of Kaddish, if I'm not mistaken. Avarion. She'over al gzeira satzibur, o she'over avera. So either he did what we would consider a bal avera, or it's not necessarily an avera, but, you know, they said, if you don't do this, I don't know, whatever it is. Anyone who doesn't come to the Hafganah is going to be put in a chayrim, whatever the Hafganah is about. Imloni duhu, if he was not yet put into chayrim by the bezdin, by the community bezdin, then he could still be counted. Says it, so Shulchan Aruch is telling us what? That if you didn't get put into chayrim, then even though you did an avera that's worthy of chayrim, you could still be mistaif to a minyan. So if we stop here, it sounds like, If we didn't put somebody in chayrim, so let's say, for example, there's a guy in the neighborhood who grew up not religious. He is not religious. Did anyone formally put him into chayrim because of the avera that he did? No. According to this reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like since he wasn't put in chayrim, even though he did the avera or averos, presumably he should be part of a minyan. That's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch. Next line of the Shulchan Aruch refers to one of the lines of the Beis Yosef that I skipped, but we'll see it here as Paskin Halacha. Menuda, let's say somebody was put in Chayrem. So if he's put into Chayrem, right, this is the flip of the previous Sif. The previous Sif says if you're not yet in Chayrem, you're not going to be, then you're not going to be excluded from Minyan. Zok, the next Sif in Simon and Hay, Menuda, if you are in Chayrem, you cannot participate in a minyan aval. You're allowed to daven the Beis Knesset Shusham. Just because he's there, you can't say, I'm not going to daven. If so-and-so is in shul, I'm not going to daven here. So imagine, we almost had this case a few years ago. I can't give details. But there was a situation where somebody had a seiruv against him for not giving a get, or almost had a seiruv against him, and he might have almost davened in the shul. Maybe he did daven in the shul. And I was worried before I knew he was in town, and I was worried he'd be coming to shul. What would happen? Somebody would say, Rabbi Orlean, this guy's in shul. We have to kick him out of shul. Or what would happen if somebody would come over to me and say, Rabbi Orlean, this guy is in chayrim, and I can't daven with him, so if he's going to be here, then I'm going to leave. So Shulchan Aruch says, no, you don't do that. Even if he can't be mitzvah to a minyan, you need 10 aside from him, but the other people are permitted to daven, even if this person who's in chayrim is present. You're just going to need 11 people because he's not going to count. What?
If he says Kaddish, do we answer Amen?
If he says Kaddish, do you say Amen? Right? You have a guy who's in Chayim, so he doesn't come to Shul, but when he has a Yartzeit, he wants to come to Shul. Yeah. Say Kaddish. Good question. His bracha is probably still a bracha.
I was in Shul, and there was a convicted child, or he admitted to child molestation, and he thought of failing for Yartzeit. I wasn't sure if I should answer.
So chances are he did Tshuva, but after he was convicted, he probably did Tshuva.
Does he still...
I don't want... Let's leave it there. Yeah.
Rabbi Robian, would we regard Chayrim, this man has to have the same as the Tkufos we're discussing here? In those days, I think, if I may be so sort of a time-oriented, a community had one Bezdin, basically, and that Bezdin had the power of basically extraditing, I mean, a member of the community. Didn't this degenerate into dueling charamim, dueling batei medrash, where it became eventually a just an exercise in vituperation and in vengeance and the like? Is it today the same as it was today? If a Bezdin were to convene to one of the shuls here in our community and put a member of them into chayim, does that affect us? I mean, is this the same as it was? Charamim became a cheap currency.
Yeah, so if you go to Baltimore where there's one Bezdin, then... and all the shuls subscribe to the Vad Rabban of Baltimore, then the Rabbanim have power. If you come to Brooklyn, then it's not going to work.
Okay.
If you go to Lakewood and there's a Vad Ha something or other under the Rosh Yeshiva, I don't know, maybe it does. Each city has its own dynamics.
But Vad Kashrus doesn't rise to that level, of course. It's a community Kashrus organization. We in our community don't have it.
We do have a Vad Ha Kashrus, Baruch Hashem, but we don't have a base in our community.
Yeah.
Okay. Next point. So that was as far as introduction. We now know that if the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that unless you were actually put into Nidui, you, even though you're a Baal Avera, can still participate as a Tzir of Luminion, as one of the ten. Okay. What I'd like to do now is I found an incredible tshuva. I know one or two people were at Mincha Ma'ariv tonight, and you heard this already, but I think it's an incredible Mara Makom that I found from the Rambam himself. And it's interesting to note that almost no one else, none of the Achronim quote this Rambam. Maybe it's because it's a Rambam and the Shas HaTshuva is Pe'er Hador. I don't know when the Shas HaTshuva is Pe'er Hador was, I don't know if we had it throughout the time, from the time of the Rambam until now. I don't know if it was a manuscript or some unpublished version that we only uncovered later. I don't know the history of the Shas HaTshuva is Pe'er Hador, because you have Shas HaTshuva is HaRambam, and this is not the Shas HaTshuva is HaRambam, this is the Shas HaTshuva is Pe'er Hador, which is the Rambam. So I don't know the historicity of this tshuva of the Rambam, but the shayla that he's asked is a very simple kash, a very simple shayla. Let's see his shayla, then we'll go back one source. Shayla, Yilamdein Rabbeinu, dear Rabbi Rambam, please teach us, Im Zos HaKas HaNikrim Karoim, these people are Karoim, if they're in a specific place, in shul, in a beis medrash, there are nine rabbanim who are modim b'toshe b'chsav, b'toshe b'alpeh, nine, you know, what we'll call regular Orthodox Jews who believe in toshe b'chsav and b'alpeh, and you have one of these karayim. If you have one of those karayim, mechon me'elu ha-karayim, yigmar ha-minyan. That you need a minion for it. That's the question.
Is it carried by default, like we said before, is it carried by default in Chayrim?
So somebody asked me a few minutes ago, I don't know if a karoy is by default in Chayrim. Let's assume not.
Like could we say reform? Or
reform? Was reform ever put in Chayrim? I assume that there were communities throughout. I assume there's something in the time of the Chasam Sofer in Pressburg that must have put somebody reforming Chayrim. Like it's good, had to be. But the movement, I don't know if you could just put a movement into Chayrim. Because maybe Chayrim has to be Chal on an individual. Chayrim is for Shloshim Yom. So is that a Chayrim? I don't know. I don't know the parameters of Chayrim well enough. I'm not holding the Sugya of Chayrim. It's 30 days. Yeah, but is it 30 days? And after 30 days, after Shema Katan wrote the bracha, it's over? Unless the Chasam Sofer put whoever it was, Moses Mendelssohn or his cronies or his Talmidim into Chayrim, so is it over after Chayrim is 30 days? Could you put a Chayrim for longer? I don't know the sugya. What? Okay. I don't know the sugya of Chayrim. to understand, to take this Rambam's question. Now, keep in mind, I told you there are different flavors of irreligiosity. Here we're talking about one very specific flavor. This very specific flavor of karoi, of somebody who's not modish to the Torah Shor Baal Peh, will have a very specific response. You'll see why this response to the Rambam, which we'll see in a moment, is relating only to the flavor of irreligiosity of a karoi, and not necessarily to a mumar, lahachis, or a mumar, l'tayavon, who has different agendas. To understand what the Rambam is going to say, let's just look on the second to last source on page 1, which is a Mishnah in Erevin. Mishnah in Erevin tells us if you want to send an Erev Tchumen so you could extend your Shabbos stroll, you want to visit your aunt in the next town, but your aunt's town is 3,500 amos away from your town. You can only walk 2,000 amos. So what are you going to do? At the midpoint, you're going to put your Erev Tchumen. You'll put a box of matzahs and a can of tuna fish at the 1,700 or 1,900 amma mark. And then this will enable you to that will be your new bias, your new residence, and you'll be able to have the extra distance. Zok the Mishnah. Hashalech Eruv B'yad Cheir Eshot V'Katan. It's not going to work. Why? Aren't they just carrying a box of matzah and tuna fish and putting it on the floor? Even a kof could do that. You don't need a human being with intelligence to do that. So why do we demand intelligence? The answer is obvious, because you're not just putting a box of matzah and tuna fish and a can of tuna fish down, you are creating a chalos of a new bias. There's a creation there. With that in mind, continues the Mishnah. O biyad misha eino moda be'erev, somebody who's not moda, who fundamentally, philosophically, doesn't believe in the existence of an Erev Tchumen. What is that another word for?
Tzaduki.
Somebody who does not accept Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Erev Tchumen was a creation of Chachamim Midrabanan. It's creation, I believe, of Shlomo HaMelech, if I'm not mistaken. So if
it's
it was... What's that, Hashi?
Mumar.
No, I don't want to use the word Mumar. Mumar means that he doesn't fulfill mitzvahs. This is worse. This is somebody who doesn't believe fundamentally in the creations of Chachamim, in that which Chachamim create.
He thinks he's more
firm. Yeah, maybe he thinks he's more religious. He doesn't want to rely on this leniency of an Erev Tchumen. Maybe he thinks he's firmer than the rest of us. Right, when you see the word Karam, that doesn't mean that they can be more, you know, they take the letter of the law. They'll chop off your hand. You hurt somebody's hand, they'll chop off your hand. The moralism. We, the us who follow Chacham will say, okay, just pay a few dollars. They'll chop off your hands. They're more religious than we. They're wrong, but it's not a matter of dedication, of sacrifice. It's a matter of following the Masorah that we have. So either way, the Mishnah says, Eino Erev. What do you have here? When the Gemara says, who's the person who... I don't want to do that part of the Gemara. We have a Gemara that says that if you don't believe in an Erev, the Erev, you can't effect an Erev. You can't put into effect an Erev. With that in mind, the Rambam is going to use that to answer his question about the Karayim. Look at the Rambam's Tshuva on the upper part of page 2. Says the Rambam, how in the world do you want to include this Karoi as your 10th man in what? In your minyan? So you could say Kaddish, so you could say Baruch Hu, so you could say Kedusha. It's an oxymoron. You want to do this Takkaras Chachamim properly, and you're going to be mitzarev somebody who fundamentally doesn't believe in the entire Takkaras Chachamim in the first place? It's absurd, says the Rambam. In the same way, for the Erev, it doesn't work because it doesn't. You can't do something if you don't believe in that. You know what it's not like? What happens if you don't believe that taking Advil will get rid of your headache? Will it work for you? It will work for you. If you don't believe that the COVID vaccine will protect you, will it protect you? It will protect you, whether you believe in it or not. So if you have... that's not like what the Rambam is telling us here. If you don't believe in the Erev, and you set down an Erev, it won't work for you. Says the Rambam, if you don't believe in a minyan and in a Kaddish and in a Baruch Hu, the way Chachamim has set it up, this model called Baruch Hu, this model called Kaddish and Baruch Hu, you don't believe in that, so it can't work for you. You can't be...
But that would be different than somebody like a Tinek Shanishba.
100%. This is not a Tinek Shanishba.
You're going to... The Rabbanim from 1950 wouldn't be so happy with that statement.
with what the Rambam says, that if you don't believe in...
Right.
Because they said just do it even though you don't believe it?
No, because that's why the original Manhattan Eruv was set up for the people who are going to carry anyways.
Oh. No, that would not be that they don't believe in it. That might be I don't want to get political, but that would probably be, if anything, a mumar l'tayavon. It's like, I have to carry my key. It's not that I don't believe in an Eruv. It's that I have to carry my key. I have to get into my building.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Rambam here isn't just that these people don't believe. They believe the reverse. They believe there is no such thing.
Right, they believe B'davka, there is no takanas chacham.
Every ignorant Jew who never heard these things doesn't believe in them. He doesn't know about them.
Right. These are people who have...
know about it in the hefech.
Yes, thank you for that clarifying that
point. They're kofar in these things.
Right. They have been intentionally kofar in the concept of a takanas chacham. So what do we have here? We have the Rambam telling us, passing a halach l'maisa. It was a shayla, and he's passing l'maisa, that if you're the type of irreligious person of brand A, of brand Karaim, that you don't believe in takanas chachamim, then a minyan, you can't be part of a minyan because you don't believe the whole thing. That's okay. So we have already from the greatest, you know, poskim of the Rishonim, that's set down for us. Now we're going to get a little bit into the murkier worders, into the situations that are not as clear cut. And now we're going to talk about a prima godim. I'm not going to go in perfect historical order, although there will be some order to the various shitas that we're going to go through now. And tshuvos, what we're going to do from here on is mostly tshuvos. With the exception, here's a prima godim on the Shulchan Aruch. The prima godim says something very clear. And we'll explain it, and then we'll see if it's accepted, if it's not accepted. So that's the prima godim in the Eshel Avram on the Magen Avram, Siman Nun Hei. Mumala Avodah Zara, okay, a guy who converts to Christianity, I hear that's a little bit out of the pale. Vichil Shabbos, somebody who doesn't keep Shabbos. O Lahachis B'davar Echad, what's Lahachis B'davar Echad?
Trade.
What's B'davka though? Give me a B'davka reason. I'll tell you a story. I had a story, a kid in my class from France. And those of you who know European cultures know that the French are very into their clothing. And he grew up in a non-religious, a sort of traditional house, a very traditional house. They kept Shabbos, they only bought kosher. And in Shir, I mentioned Shatnez. He says, whose nose did you shoot? I said, no, Shatnez, the mitzvah. He said, what mitzvah? I said, well, you have to check your clothes. He didn't know the mitzvah of Shatnez. And I explained it to him, and he said, what? You mean they're going to take a knife and cut a brand new jacket? And as a Frenchman, he couldn't, he was a sharp-dressed Parisian. He couldn't understand, well, that's actually probably Mura L'Teyavo, not L'Hachas. Okay, so either way, you have a Mura L'Hachas L'Dav Racha. One thing, he says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Harei says the Prima Godim, Harei Ka'akum. So now we have three categories. A mumar l'avodah zarah, a guy who's baptized. Okay, that I could hear. He can't be part of a minyan. V'chilul Shabbos. Oh, that's a large swath. That's a tremendous swath of the Jewish population.
They didn't allow Kissinger into shul when he wanted to daven for Yahrzeit.
They didn't allow him into shul. They didn't let him be part of the minyan. Count as a minyan. Okay. Oh, lahachis bedaver echad, or if he's a mumar lahachis, he keeps 612, and one mitzvah he doesn't keep? Not because we're going to talk about that. That's going to be something else. Somebody who marries a non-Jewish woman. We're going to talk about that specifically. Harehu ka'akon, says the Prima God, there's such a person who is one of those three categories, has a din of an akum, and is not mitzvah to a minyan. However, if you're just an avarian, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, you are mitzvah. Fine. So the Prima Godim just paskin for us, which is probably the most important nekuda, the most important application that I would draw from this, there are not so many mumer la'avodah zaros who come to shul and want to be part of a minyan. Right? If you want to baptize yourself, you probably aren't interested in joining for a minyan. L'hachis b'dav recha, most people I know who are not keeping mitzvahs, it's because of their taivas and inconveniences and costs and challenges, not because they're l'hachis. However, chilul Shabbos, go look at the Pew report. We're talking about a vast majority of Klal Yisrael. According to the Prima Godim, Hareu Ka'akum Ve'en Mitztarif. So if a person is not Shomer Shabbos, it's explicit prima gadim that that person does not count for a minyan. Comes Rav Moshe and was asked again this very same question. Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph, so this was an early shai, this is a shai that he got, could be back in the, I don't know, in the 50s, 60s, maybe, I don't know the exact timeline of his svarim, but it was an early shai that he got. Could it be some of the truest in Chelek Aleph are shai's that he got in Luban before he came to America? But I assume this shai was from America. Then the question was, in Bishas Hadchak Litzarif, Mechal Shabbos, so it's La Sara, a Mechal Shabbos, could he be Mitztarif to a minyan, if you need him? So now, the idea that he says is a beautiful idea. You might have heard it. I don't know if you've ever seen it inside. Interestingly enough, it's so obvious and so self-evident, but many Achronim earlier than him do not quote his proof. We're going to skip the... He has something that he's building which we're going to ignore, that his psak is based on, and I'm just telling you, we're going to see a piece of his psak, not the whole piece, the whole psak, but it's the lumdus that we're going to see is going to be very compelling even without the part that it's based on. Look at what I underlined. We know that the halacha of minyan is learned from where? I think the Chazan hinted to this. From the word Eda. It says the word Eda by the Meraglim, that there were 10 Meraglim who were the 10 of the 10 of the bad Meraglim. It says the word Eda. If somebody has their... Right? And it says the word Eda by Korach, and just like the word Okay, so look what I underlined. Kevin Shemikra Echad Yalfinun Hadin Bekiddush Hashem Lehareg B'Sharavei Shuba Asara. The pasuk says, V'niktashti b'soch adas b'nei Yisrael. The mitzvah of giving up one's life, if they have to, is, says the word Eda there. And from there we learn that you have to give up your life in front of? 10. How do we know that it's 10? Because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Let's look at the purple, those of you who have it on the screen, see it's purple. Those of you who don't have my screen, look on the bottom of page 2. Let's look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, then we'll see what Rav Moshe writes. Amrav Yaakov Amrav Yochanan. This is Gemara Sanhedrin and Daladam and Beis. When we have to give up our lives, Al Kiddush Hashem, because a guy puts a gun to our heads and says, "I want you to," or when they would, you know, when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, would take somebody in public, especially a rabbi, put him in public on a stage and say, "Okay, we want you to take a razor and shave off your beard," so he has to give up his life. Aside from being Shas Hashemad, but because it's for Hesia. Even if it's not one of the Gimel Yoharag Vel Yavars. How many is Farhesia? Farhesia is 10. Ain't Farhesia Pchusa Me'asar B'nei Adam. Says the Gemara, Pshita. I'm sorry. Says the Gemara, Pshita Yisraelim B'inan. Obviously, the population in which this violation will be B'Farhesia is Jews. As the Pasuk says, D'chsev Nekdash L'B'sof B'nei Yisrael. So clearly, the Pasuk says Jews. So of course, we're talking about that there are Jews who are seeing this, and that's the farhesia for which you have to give up your life. Frek the Gemara, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tishi Yisrael v'Nachri Echad Ma'ah. What about 9 Jews and 1 guy? Is that considered farhesia enough for you to have to give up your life? So the Gemara answers, Toch. We have a Gzeir Shava. Ksiv hach v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It says, by Kiddush Hashem, by giving up your life, v'niktashti amongst b'nei Yisrael. Uchsiv Hasam by the Adas, I'm sorry, by the Meraglim, Hibadlumi Tocha Yedah Hazos, Malahalan, just like over there by the Meraglim, Asara, and all 10 of them were Yisrael, Afkan, so too, the Gzer Shavah teaches us that so too, for Kiddush Hashem, it's only when it's all Yisrael. Afkan, Yisrael, Asara, Vukuli, Yisrael. So we learn the quantity and the quality. Let me rephrase that. We learn the quantity that there are 10 people and the quality of those people that they have to be Jewish in order to obligate somebody to give up their lives. Okay. Now, where do we learn the idea of needing 10 people for a minyan from? What? Wrong. Where do we know that you need 10 people for Davar Shebikdusha? I just gave you a hint. Yeah, the pasuk that we just read about giving up your life. The same pasuk that says, "Mikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael," that you have to, my name shall be sanctified, give up your life. It also means my name shall be sanctified, meaning say Kedusha, say Kadosh, say Baruch, Davish, Shebik, Dusha. The same pasuk that tells you give up your life is the pasuk that tells you you have to have a minion for these Dvarim Shebik Dusha. That's what the Rambam, that's what Ramosha says here in my underlying lines. Shem Mikra Echad Yalfinon Hadim B'Kiddush Hashim Lehareg B'Shar Averos Shubah Sara. That din that you have to give up your life. And V'adin She'en Omrim Dvarim Shebik Dusha Pachas Me'as Sara. And therefore, V'lachain. Can I ask you a question? Does the 10 people in front of whom you might have to give up your life, do they have to be religious or just Jewish? Could you prove that? Better, no? Better proof.
That's the aid of the
better proof. Better proof. From the Gemara we just learned. What was Rav Yirmiyah's question? Rav Yirmiyah asked, Rav Yirmiyah asked, 10 people, okay, Jews. What about 9 and a?
No.
And a guy, and an achri.
He didn't say nine and a mumar,
9 and a something, 9 and a malshin, 9 and a min, 9 and a karoi, 9 and a, he said 9 and a guy. And the Gemara says, no, 9 and a guy won't work, clearly. 9 and any Jew who's anything more than a guy will work. And not only that, but where do we find, and this is the point that some of you made, where do we know that the 10 people that you have to give up your lives for are indeed any Jews, even if they're not so religious? Because the toch that we learned, from the toch from the Meraglim to the Hibadumi Sochei Da'azos, to the toch of Mikdash Yisrael B'nei Yisrael, there we're talking about the Meraglim, as I have on the top of the second page underlined. They were Kofrim Befarhesia. The Meraglim were Kofrim. They were Kofrim. When they left, they were good people, but they were Kofrim. And they're even worse than Mechalalei Shabbos. Interesting. He has a proof for that, not going into that. So you see that somebody who is even worse than a Mechalal Shabbos, he's a Kofrim Befarhesia, he is considered one for whom you have to give up, for he's part of the Farhesia for whom you have to give up your life. And the din of giving up your life, the Farhesia of giving up your life, is the same din, same pasuk as the need for a minion. So therefore, you see, says Rav Moshe, that even somebody who is a meragel, somebody who's a kofer b'farhesia, who's worse than a mechal Shabbos, counts for the farhesia of giving up your life in front of, and therefore equally will count for a minion, which is the same pasuk as giving up your life. And therefore, Rav Moshe argues pretty explicitly on the Prima Gadim that we saw. The Prima Gadim says the Mechal Shabbos is not mitzvah to a minion. Here we see that somebody who's worse than a Mechal Shabbos, a Kofer B'Farhesia, could be mitzvah, is considered one of the 10, as Rav Moshe has this very powerful raya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
But he also argues with the Rambam, was said previously as well.
The Rambam was talking specifically about a Karoi. That's why I wanted to put that, with a specific logic for a karai.
Karai would be the same thing without the
Chol Hashem. Good, let's leave that out for now. The Rav Moshe, even though Rav Moshe is giving us a very big kula, Rav Moshe, we'll call it a kula, that's saying that the 10th person could indeed, I mean, not just the 10th, that you could indeed include somebody who's not religious in a minion. Yes, it's correct. How's it a chumrah? You have to give up your life. You have to give up your life. And ten, if you're in front of a, if I don't know, you're at your law, you have your conference room, and somebody, a terrorist, bursts into your conference room, some Jewish firm with nobody wearing a yarmulke except for you, and they're all the partners are not Jew. You know, their names are all Klein and Levine and Cohen, but you're the only one wearing a yarmulke. Terrorist runs in and points the gun at you and says, "Eat this cheeseburger, or I'll shoot you." You look around, the 10 people say named Klein, Goldberg, and Friedman. You're the only religious guy. You have to give up your life. That's a chumrah, right? On the other side, it's a kula, but that if you needed 9 in the conference room and the 10th guy was a non-religious partner, he could be tied to a minion.
Can you pass the cheeseburger to the others? No, I'm kidding.
You're the lawyer. But Rav Moshe says something interesting. Let's say you have exactly 10 people, right? 9 from guys, and you need a 10th man. You pull them off at the bus station, the Tachrema Kazit, you say, you're at the ski slopes, right? You're going skiing on Bein Hazman, you know. And you find a night, you see a guy who looks just Jewish, or he's watching the minion that's in formation too closely. You could say, are you Jewish? Like, yeah, we need a 10th. Could you join a 10th? Says Rav Moshe, look what I underlined at the end of his tshuva. Aval tefila b'tzibur mistaber shelo yechashev. It's not going to be considered tefila b'tzibur, but it would work b'shas hadchak, at least, not ideally b'shas hadchak, for kaddish, kedusha, and baruch hu.
The guy in Zichron Moshe called 9 taxi drivers.
Yes, that's the story. Yeah, that's right. Okay, now. What is tefillah b'tzibur? Tefillah b'tzibur is the maila that you strive for, so that your Shmona Esrei should be on a higher level and be more miskabel klapei shamayim. That you're supposed to go to shul as opposed to davening in your living room because you want to get a better tefillah and be more miskabel, and to whatever extent you're willing to go on vacation only a place where you could get a minyan. That maila you wouldn't have if you had a an irreligious person as part of the 10. But does that mean the Shechina is there for Tefillah B'Tzibur, but for Kaddish and Baruch Hu, there's not the presence of Shechina, but for Tefillah B'Tzibur it is? Correct. We're splitting hairs right now. We're splitting hairs between Tefillah B'Tzibur, it's not considered, but for fulfillment of V'Nikdash T'Besoch B'nei Yisrael, that you need the minyan that you need for Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kedusha, it is considered. He would be okay. So that's now Rav Moshe got some hack on this tshuva that we're going to skip his the next tshuva, which is his response to somebody who wanted to knock his tshuva out and say, no, maybe there's a difference between giving up your life and minyan, but we're not going to go into that tshuva. There's a well-known. Let's go to the next point. There's a very famous tshuva called the Binyan Tzion. Rabbi Yitzchak was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener, it's important to know where and when he lived. He lived in Germany, and he lived in the first 70 years of the 1800s, and that's in the time of Reform. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shamshon Lefal Hirsch and of Israel Hildesheimer. I saw Israel Hildesheimer's grandson last night at a wedding. But that's... not for now. So he titles this tshuva. Do you see what I have in bold at the very bottom of page 3? Psakim shalol halach lemaisa. I don't know what, you'll see why. Because what he's about to do is he's about to give a big kula. Remember, what we saw so far, the earliest person who says that you can count somebody as a tzir for a minute that I just showed you was Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Prima Gadim says, if he's not religious, show me he doesn't keep Shabbos, you can't count him. The Rambam says, if he's a Karai, you can't count him. What about Yain Mevushal? Yain that's not Mevushal, with somebody who's irreligious. Jewish, but irreligious. You're having your Pesach Seder, and your aunt is coming, your nephew's coming, your cousin's coming, and they're not religious. And you like using non-mevushal wine because it is more lechatchila for the Seder. I believe Shitas Rambam says you should use wine that's not mevushal, that's Roy LaMizbeach. So now they're Jewish, but not religious. What's going to be the status here? So that's the Shaila. He's not talking about a minion. He's talking about Yayin. But the din of Stam Yayin might be more chamer than Kaddish and Kedush and Baruch Hu. But let's see. So he starts off, now you can't leave in the middle of this tshuva. If you want to leave, leave now, or leave after we finish the tshuva, but not in the middle. Says the tshuva, towards the top of page 4. If you didn't have Marav yet, please. Oh, you have to have Marav? Oh, go. I'm sorry, go. Yeah, go Gashas, Gashas. Lanias Daiti, it is clear, he says, again, don't leave in the middle. If you're Mechal Shas before Hesia, the Gemara says, explicitly, then have a kumumer lechol haTorah kula v'dino ka'avik achab. Somebody who is a mechal shas before Hesia has a din of a mumar, okay, but also I'm sorry, it's a din of Mumra for Kol Torah Kula, and also it's a din of an Akum. And therefore, theoretically, you would say if they're a guy, if they have a status of a guy, then their wine should be Stam Yeinu, the wine should be Aser. But wait a second, he asks. What's the whole reason why you can't have wine that's handled by a guy? Because you might... Right, you might end up marrying his daughter. If your cousin's not religious, is there anything wrong with marrying his daughter? No, she's Jewish. Nothing wrong with marrying his daughter.
Stam Yeinu, that's with Bishalaka.
I'm not talking about Bishalaka. We're not talking about Bishalaka. We're talking about Stam Yeinu.
Stam Yeinu, I thought the problem is that the Goyim used it for their idol worship.
There are two separate reasons for Stam Yeinu. One is that it might be used for Avodah Zarah, like you and Dr. Bashevkin said, and the other reason is that Mishum Chasnas. So he says, what are you worried about Chasnas? If the person is not religious, but they're Jewish, you're allowed to marry his daughter. There's no Mishum Chasnas for an irreligious Jew. Nothing wrong. Jewish is Jewish. Says the Binyan Sion, Yaakov Edlinger, Ze'eno, in the second paragraph. Ze'eno. He says, he proves whatever he proves, and I underlined it. Such a person has a din of an akum, and for whatever halachas an akum applies, that their wine is a stam yenim, so too that same halach will apply to an irreligious, a mechal shas, but for a hesio Jew. Even though, you're right, the specific reason of chasnas might not apply, but they are categorically categorized as a mumar that would make their wine off limits. So what we just finished saying is, he said the halacha is clear that a mechal shas for hesia is dino ka'akum, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the halacha. I told you not to leave. Because in the third paragraph he says, what I just told you was miyakur hadin. Aval, and this is the $1 million aval. There's so much literature that is based on the next five lines of the Binyan Sion. Aval uposhe yisrael shebizmanenu. But the contemporary, remember where and when did he live? He lived in Germany in the mid-1800s. He lived in the heart, in the heat of the, you know, the sprouting of the Reform movement. Lo yodanim adobahem. I don't know what to do with them. How should I categorize them? Achar, look at the words. Sha'avavanosenu harabim, pashta habaharis, this terrible baharis has spread, larov, acha berubam, chilu shabbos nasa keheter. The majority, at least in some towns where we're in Germany, the majority of the Jews have become mechale shabbos. And it's possible, if that's how they look at life, if that's how they live their life, it might have a din of Omer Mutter. In their minds, they think that it's... I had a friend. I grew up with a friend two doors away from me. His name is Philip. He was one of my best friends growing up. Jewish, Philip Stern. And he grew up not in a non-religious home. I grew up in my home, was a religious home. And he knew I kept Shabbos, and he didn't keep Shabbos. He knew everything about kosher, because he lived on in the middle of Flatbush. He knew everything about sukkahs, and he came to my sukkah and ate my sukkah. He even probably shook my lulav on sukkahs. And he, once in a while, I dragged him to shul maybe, but he knew that he was not religious. So it went like this. Once we were about 17, 18 years old enough to drive, whatever, 15 years old enough that he was able to drive. So Shabbos meant that the Orleans can't drive, but me, I'm not religious, so I can drive. That was in his mind. I'm not religious, so I can drive. You are religious, you can't drive. That's exactly what Rav Yaakov Edlinger says. That it's Omer Mutter, and therefore it doesn't have a din of Mezid. Omer Mutter is Karav L'Mezid. Karav L'Mezid. It doesn't have a din of Mezid, it has a din of Karav L'Mezid. It's not considered. And therefore, he describes something a little bit similar. I would say that's more similar to the Mesorati community. He says in the next paragraph, there's some people, they daven on Shabbos, and they make Kiddush, and afterwards they play soccer, they go to the game, they go to the mall. So, you're going to say that they're kofar b'kol haTorah kula, if they're mechal shas, they're kofar b'kol haTorah kula, because they're kofar b'ikra, they don't believe in anything. Yes, they do. They went to shul and they made kiddush. They made kiddush. They said Hashem created the world in 7 days and rest on the seventh. They believe that. Their idea of how to rest is you go to the mall, you play golf, you drive to your aunt's house, you drive to grandma's house. That's, you know, that in their mind, that's what rest is. And then you have the next generation. Then the next generation just assumes that this is how it is. And that's, of course, called what we know from elsewhere, tinoko shenishba. If you do something because that's how you were raised, so you're considered a tinok shenishba ben ha'akum, like a child who was taken captive and didn't know better. So, therefore, but he says something interesting. He says something that could be a parameter for what is considered mazer or not. Look what I underlined. He says, if you had, let's say you have somebody who's not religious, but in front of the rabbi, you know, in front of the Orthodox shul, they wouldn't drive. They'd drive and park 3 blocks away and walk to shul. Or in front of the rabbi, there's a famous story about Rabbi Levin. Rabbi Levin used to visit the prisons in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, for the people who are the Machteret, the Eitzel, the Lechi, the Yigun. And he visited on Shabbos. So there's a story about Rabbi Levin coming on Shabbos, and one of the prisoners saw Rabbi coming, who was smoking a cigarette, so what did he do? He swallowed a cigarette. He was scared that Rabbi Levin shouldn't see him with a cigarette on Shabbos. He just didn't know what to do, just swallowed it. He didn't want to see, you know, he didn't want to... what do you see? Says that this, that's the next line that I underline in the Binyan Tzion. If they wouldn't be meiz neged chachmei hadar, in order to be considered a mumar for Michal Shabbos, there has to be a chutzpah element, an in-your-face element, a shtach element. You know what a shtach is, right? Okay. So if you're not going to be meiz and have that chutzpah element, you wouldn't. If the rabbi, I'm Michal Shabbos, I drive everywhere. I wouldn't, if the rabbi invited me for lunch on Shabbos afternoon, I wouldn't drive to his house, though. That I wouldn't do. Says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, that takes away the din of Michal Shabbos for Farhesia. The Farhesia, what does Farhesia mean? Farhesia means in public to the extent that, what's the point of public? I don't care. I have that shtot, that arrogance, that chutzpah element. That's what Farhesia is. If you wouldn't do it in front of an Adam Gadol, that's not called Farhesia anymore. So yes, it's Michal Shabbos. It's not a Michal Shabbos Farhesia. He has a sense of respect for a rabbi, a rabbinical figure, whatever it is. And therefore, based on that, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger doesn't say, oh, we don't have to worry about it at all. He says, I think that in this generation, talking about the mid-1800s, and in America, 100%, certainly, this would be the case. And so too in Israel, the community that grew up not religious, you know, they don't know better. And again, this last point, you have to determine each person, do they have the chutzpah, do they not have the chutzpah. But if there's a measure of respect, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes the merits might be very chutzpahdik and anti, but they're certainly in Tinoko Shnishpa. They grew up in, you know, if you grow up on a kibbutz that's anti-religious, what do you think you're going to be? So Tinoko Shnishpa might be a different status. So now we're starting to get somewhere. I really, there's a lot more to do, but I want to draw your line to one line. Draw your eyes to one line. From the Shas Tshu is Melamed Lahoil. I'm sorry, from the Shas Tshu is Sho'el Umeshiv. Sho'el Umeshiv, if I remember correctly, was with David Zvi Hoffman, or is that the Melamed Lahoil? Am I getting confused? The Melamed Lahoil. No. I want you to look at one line on the bottom of page 4. Gam Hagon. Rnasan Shalson, thank you. Gam Hagon Bal Sholem Eshev Haya Omer. I don't know exactly when he lived. My guess is the late 1800s, but you could check Mr. Bergman quickly. Sheba Artsos America? Ein Lifsol Mechali Shabbos Befarhesia Militzar from the Minyan. You know why? Because all the irreligious Jews in America, they're all Tinoka Shanishbu. That's what Rishol Natanson, the Bal Sholem Eshev, said. Ad Kan Dvarav. This is going back a long time. Certainly now we're a lot more. If they were Tinoka Shnishbu 100 some odd years ago, we're certainly Tinoka Shnishbu. Most Americans are certainly Tinoka Shnishbu at this point. But as Hashem, maybe next week we'll see. There's a lot more alumnus that's going to go into this discussion of why their status should change from Dina de Gemara. So again, keep in mind, the Binyan Tzion said something incredible. He said, the Dina de Gemara is that a Michal Shas Befarhesi is Ka'akum, and therefore should not be, his wine is Yainesa, is Tam Yenam, not kosher, and his obviously shouldn't be Messiah to a minion. But he's saying that that's Meikar HaDin, and the people of our generation are not the people that are Meikar HaDin. If we stop here, we're going to stop here for the night, we're not finishing the sugya now. If we stop here, it sounds like somebody who doesn't have the status of a real Mechal Shas Befarhesia with the attitude, at least according to the Binyan Sion, is not a din of a Mechal Shas Befarhesia. Rav Moshe had a totally different svar. Rav Moshe wasn't going with our days people is different than, the people nowadays, the contemporary irreligious people are different than previous generations. Rav Moshe finds with saying that Meikar Hadin, you could have a non-religious person be mitzayef to a minion because of where we learn minion from. So Be'ez Hashem, which we zoch to continue, which we zoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Meisha Le'Vavos Habonim, Le'Bonim Le'Vosim.
Joe Mountainson was a contemporary of the Binyan Sion, more or less.
Oh, wow, so he was early.
10 years younger, 1808 to 1807. But it took quick.
So how could he have written about Eretz Yisrael America in the early 1800s, telling us what a Jew in America?
Well, he was born in 1808, so I don't think
So maybe the mid and the late 1800s is telling us that in America.
1875.
Yeah, what were you saying?
What would Rav Moshe say about an irreligious person and wine?
So what Rav Moshe's kula only applies to minyan. It has nothing to do with wine. Wine might still be problematic according to... He's not talking about wine. I don't know what else he writes. But his kula is only about minyan. Okay, gentlemen.
It means that today with off the derech, you can count a kid into a minyan.